نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما، اللهم فقهنا في الدين، اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن دعوة لا يستجاب لها. آمين يا رب العالمين. الحمد لله. Today we're beginning Juz 11 from Surah At-Tawbah, Ayah number 93. إنما السبيل على الذين يستأذنوك وهم أغنياء. The cause for blame is only upon those who ask permission of you while they are rich. The context of this ayah is the battle of Tabuk and how the hypocrites would seek permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay back and not go out on the expedition to fight the Romans. And they used excuses which were not true. In the ayah before this, Allah has told us, there is no blame upon those who, when they come to you, and you might so that you might give them mounts, you said, I can find nothing for you to ride upon. They turned back while their eyes overflowed with tears out of grief, that they could not find something to spend for the cause of Allah. Allah in this ayah says, in 93, the cause for blame is only upon those who ask permission of you while they are rich, meaning they can afford to get their own transportation and leave, but they do not do so. So Allah says, they are satisfied to be with those who stay behind, and Allah has sealed over their hearts, so they do not know. They will make excuses to you when you have returned to them. Say, make no excuse, never will we believe you. Allah has already informed us of your news, meaning your affair, and Allah will observe your deeds, and so will His Messenger. Then you will be taken back to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed, and He will inform you of what you used to do. Here's a warning for them. Allah says they will swear by Allah to you when you return to them, meaning back from Tabuk, that you would leave them alone. They will swear about their excuses so that you would not punish them, you would not reprimand them. Allah says, so leave them alone. Indeed, they are filth. Allah says, innahum rijsun, and their refuge is hell as recompense for what they used to earn. The only other group of people whom Allah has used this word for, rijs, is for polytheists, mushrikeen. Allah says they are rijs. And here Allah says the hypocrites are rijs. These are Muslims who are hypocrites, who refuse to obey Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and refuse to give up their worldly life and worldly luxuries, even though it might be temporary, for the sake of Islam. Yahlifuna lakum. Allah tells us that they actually swear. They swear to you so that you might be satisfied with them. But if you should be satisfied with them, indeed Allah is not satisfied with a defiantly disobedient people. The Bedouins are stronger in disbelief and hypocrisy and more likely not to know the limits of what laws Allah has revealed to His Messenger, and Allah is knowing and wise. And among the Bedouins are some who consider what they spend as a loss. They think that giving zakat or giving charity, sadaqah, fi sabilillah, is simply a penalty. They view it as a fine. Allah says, and among the Bedouins are some who consider what they spend as a loss and await for you turns of misfortune. Upon them will be a misfortune of evil, and Allah is hearing and knowing. But among the Bedouins, من الأعراب من يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر ويتخذ ما ينفق قربات عند الله وصلوات الرسول. But among the Bedouins are some who believe in Allah and the Last Day and consider what they spend as means of nearness to Allah and of obtaining du'as, invocations of the Messenger. Unquestionably, it is a means of nearness for them. This is good news for them. Allah will admit them to His mercy Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. It is how we view things. That is what matters. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Undoubtedly, Allah does not look at your appearance or wealth, but rather He looks at your hearts and actions." Then he pointed with his fingers to his chest. وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ. And the first forerunners in faith among the Muhajirin, the immigrants who emigrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, the inhabitants of Medina who had accepted Islam and assisted the believers. Allah says the first forerunners amongst both groups, and also وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ, the people who followed them with good conduct, their followers. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him, and He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, wherein they will abide forever. That is a great attainment. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud reported, the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, "The best people are those of my generation, then those who come after them, then those who come after them. Then there will come people whose witness will precede their oaths, and whose oaths will precede their witness," meaning they will be unreliable. Subhanallah, three generations, the first three generations. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala narrows it down even further. He said the first forerunners among the Muhajirin. Now the Muhajirin came first because they accepted Islam first. Amongst them, the woman who accepted Islam first, the person who accepted Islam first actually was a woman. It was Khadija radiallahu anha. And then the first man, the young boy, was Ali radiallahu anhu. And then the first adult was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the early Muslims, and those who sacrificed the most. Some say also those who took part in Badr. Then the others were the second group, those among the Ansar who were first to accept Islam when they came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam secretly in Mecca, and they went back and started preaching Islam in Medina. والسابقون الأولون, الصابقون, the forerunners, those who are in the front of the race. الأولون, the first ones amongst those. Allah says in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ, the foremost shall be who are the foremost, meaning the foremost shall be they who in life were the foremost in faith and good works. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ, those who are always drawn close to God, those are the ones who are now close to God. فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ, in gardens of bliss. These are the people who rushed ahead. They raced ahead. They overtook others. Propelled by passion. Lost in the love of Allah. The seekers of paradise. And here's the good news for those who follow Him. وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا بِإِحْسَانٍ, and those who followed them in the best manner possible. اتَّبَعَ, it means to emulate, to walk on the footsteps of someone. So how do we get the title radiallahu anhum, which means Allah is pleased with them? We followed the footsteps of the first generation. Amongst them, those who were the foremost of the first generation, the second generation, who were the students of the Sahaba, and then the third generation, the Tabi'een, the followers of the students of the Sahaba. Allah says, وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. A person will safeguard their honor and their religion if they stick to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ as practiced by these generations. اللَّهُمَّ جَعْلَ مِنْهُمْ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ameen. Allah says, and among those around you of the Bedouins are hypocrites, and also from the people of Medina. They have become accustomed to hypocrisy. Your Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not know them, but we know them. We will punish them twice in this world. Then they will be returned to a great punishment. And there are others who have acknowledged their sins. They had mixed a righteous deed with another that was bad. Perhaps Allah will turn to them in forgiveness. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful. This refers to some people who had taken part in jihad earlier, but had abstained on the occasion of Tabuk. They had not left with the Muslim army because of laziness, not because they did not want to leave. So Allah says about them that they have mixed deeds. Perhaps Allah will forgive them. The Prophet ﷺ explained about people with mixed deeds. Rasulullah ﷺ once said, as is noted in Al-Bukhari, "Last night two angels came to me in a vision and took me to a city built with bricks made of gold and silver. We met some men who part of their bodies were as handsome as you ever saw and a part as ugly as you ever saw. The two angels ordered these men to go to a river and submerge themselves in it. They did that and came back to us, and the ugliness went away from them, thus becoming the most beautiful form. The two said to me, 'This is the Garden of Eden, and this is your residence in it.' The two angels said, 'As for the men who had part of their body handsome and part ugly, they have mixed a deed that was righteous with another that was evil. Allah has pardoned them.'" Allah says about these people who refrained from going on to Tabuk, "Take O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from their wealth a charity, by which you purify them and cause them increase, and invoke Allah's blessings upon them. Indeed, your du'as, your invocations are reassurance for them, and Allah is hearing and knowing. Do they not know that it is Allah who accepts repentance from His servants and receives charities, and that it is Allah who is the accepting of repentance, the merciful?" Allah says the sadaqah tutahhiruhum, it purifies them, cleanses them, utazakihim, and purifies them. So with this ayah we understand that giving charity, giving sadaqah, erases our sins. And it cools Allah's anger, it washes away hypocrisy. Because remember, the mark of hypocrites is that they would not want to give in the path of Allah. And Allah asks so beautifully, "Do they not know that it is Allah who accepts repentance from His servants and receives charities?" Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, "Charity falls in Allah's hand before it falls in the needy's hand." And then he recited this ayah. So Allah is asking us, "Do they not know? Do you not know?" Meaning Allah is inviting us. What are we waiting for? Allah says, وَقُلْ اِعْمَلُوا فَسَيَرَ اللَّهُ عَمَلَكُمْ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, and say, "Do as you will, for Allah will see your deeds, and so will His Messenger and the believers, and you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the witnessed, and He will inform you of what you used to do." Only Allah is a judge. We cannot judge others, but we can make inferences about a person depending on how their end was. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do not be pleased with someone's deeds until you see what his deeds in the end will be like. Verily, one might work for some time of his life with good deeds, so that if he dies while doing it, he will enter paradise. However, he changes and commits evil deeds. One might commit evil deeds for some time in his life, so that if he dies while doing them, he will enter the fire. However, he changes and performs good deeds. If Allah wants the good of a servant, He employs him before he dies." He was asked, "How would Allah employ him, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He replied, "He directs him to perform good deeds and takes his life in that condition." Allahumma ja'alna minhum ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa akharuna murjawna li amri Allahi imma yu'adhibuhum wa imma yatubu alayhim wallahu alimun hakim. And there are others deferred until the command of Allah, whether He will punish them or whether He will forgive them, and Allah is knowing and wise. Those mentioned in this ayah are Marara bin Arabi, Ka'ab bin Malik, Hilal bin Umayyah. Some companions stayed behind from the Battle of Tabuk due to laziness, preferring comfort. They did not lag behind because of hypocrisy or doubts. Some of them tied themselves to the pillars of the masjid, like Abu Lubaba and several of his friends did. They had tied themselves to the tree near the masjid until Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them for their mistake. Some of them did not do that, and they are the three mentioned here. Those who tied themselves received their pardon before these three men, whose pardon was delayed. And then Allah says, "And there are those hypocrites who took for themselves a mosque for causing harm and disbelief and division among the believers, and as a station for whoever had warred against Allah and His Messenger before. And they will surely swear, 'We intended only the best,' and Allah testifies that they indeed are liars." The hypocrites in Medina built a masjid next to Masjid Quba. And they finished building it before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Tabuk. They went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inviting him to pray in their masjid, so that it would be a proof that Rasulullah approved of their masjid. They told him that they had built it for the weak and ill people on rainy nights. However, Allah prevented His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam from praying there. So the Prophet said, "Insha'Allah, if we come back, then we will pray." When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Tabuk and was approximately 1 or 2 days away from Medina, Jibril alayhi salam came down to him with the news about Masjid Ad-Darar, which was actually built to cause fitna and division and corruption between the Muslims. It was supposed to be a headquarters for planning for the hypocrites. So Allah says, "Do not stand for prayer within it, ever. A mosque founded on righteousness from the first day is more worthy for you to stand in," meaning the Masjid of Quba. "Within it are men who love to purify themselves, and Allah loves those who purify themselves." The Prophet ﷺ has said, "One prayer in Masjid Quba is just like an umrah." The Prophet ﷺ went to Masjid Quba once and asked, "In the story about your masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised you concerning the purification that you perform. What is the purification that you perform?" They said, "By Allah, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we do not know, except that we had neighbors from the Jews who used to use water to wash with after answering the call of nature, and we washed as they washed." So compare the two masajid and also the two kinds of people. The actions of a believer are based on the taqwa of Allah. Life is based on two things, the pleasure of Allah or the pleasure of oneself. Where do we fall? Taqwa is like a mountain, and hypocrisy makes you hollow. This building, this masjid, was hollow. Allah says, "Then is one who laid the foundation of his building on righteousness with fear from Allah and seeking his approval better, or one who laid the foundation of his building on the edge of a bank about to collapse, so it collapsed with him into the fire of hell? And Allah does not guide the wrongdoing people. Their building, which they built, will not cease to be a cause of skepticism in their hearts until their hearts are cut," meaning stopped, "and Allah is knowing and wise." So the masjid was ordered to be destroyed, and it was. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Indeed, Allah has purchased from the believers their lives and their properties. In exchange for that, they will have paradise. They fight in the cause of Allah, so they kill and are killed. It is a true promise binding upon him in the Torah and the Gospel and the Quran. And who is truer to his covenant than Allah? So rejoice in your transaction which you have contracted, and it is that which is a great attainment. A true promise mentioned in three books. In the world of knowledge, it is important to give references. This promise is written in black and white. The basis of any business deal has some components. The seller agrees to sell. The buyer agrees to buy. The price is agreed upon. Then you have the commodity itself, the terms and conditions, the exchange, and the handover. Here, the man wants Jannah, paradise. Rab says its price is your life and your wealth. Are you willing to buy? There is no other contract available. The only other choice is hellfire. This is the only price. If you are not willing to pay the price, then stop dreaming about it. When Bilal radiallahu anhu was being tortured, his master used to say, "Why not give this up?" Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "When you buy a cup from the market, do you not check it out? Will my Rabb not check me out?" And he said, "Ahadun ahad, one, one. At-ta'ibuna al-'abiduna al-hamiduna as-sa'ihuna as-sa'ihuna ar-raki'una as-sajiduna al-amiruna bil-ma'rufi wan-nahuna 'anil munkari wal-hafizuna li-hududillah wa bashshiril mu'minin." Who is receiving this good news? Allah says such believers are the repentant, the ones who turn back to Allah over and over again. They acknowledge their mistakes and they feel ashamed. The worshippers, al-abiduna, constantly worshipping Allah in every way. Al-hamiduna, those who praise Allah and thank Him. As-sa'ihuna, the travelers for His cause. They travel for jihad. They travel for knowledge. They travel to seek lessons from His signs. Ar-raki'una, those who do ruku, bow down. As-sajiduna, those who do sajda, prostrate, are humble, not arrogant. Al-amiruna bil-ma'rufi, again, those who enjoin what is right. Wan-nahuna 'anil munkari, and they forbid what is wrong. وَالْحَافِظُونَ لِحُدُودِ اللَّهِ, and those who observe the limits of Allah. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, and congratulate the believers. Those are the people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has purchased their lives and their properties. In exchange for that, they will have Jannah. May Allah make us of them. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. مَا كَانَ لِنَبِيِّ, it is not for the Prophet and those who have believed to ask forgiveness for the polytheists, even if they were relatives, after it has become clear to them that they are companions of hellfire, meaning they have died. And the request of forgiveness of Abraham for his father, who was also a polytheist, was only because of a promise he had made to him. Allah let him keep his promise, so he was allowed to make the dua. But when it became apparent to him, meaning Abraham, that he, his father, was an enemy to Allah, he disassociated himself from him. Indeed, Abraham was compassionate and patient. Inna Ibrahima la'awwahun halim. And Allah would not let a people stray after He has guided them until He makes clear to them what they should avoid. Indeed, Allah is knowing of all things. Indeed, to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He gives life and causes death. And you have not besides Allah any protector or any helper. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us all the time, and He protects us. He has given us this message to read and understand. But He is not going to take the hold of each one of us by our collars and make us listen and make us hear. He reminds us several times in our lives, over and over again, in multiple ways. But then it is up to us to open the book of Allah and to learn what are the things that I should avoid. Allah says, Allah has already forgiven the Prophet and the Muhajireen and the Ansar who follow him in the hour of difficulty after the hearts of a party of them had almost inclined to doubt. And then He forgave them. Indeed, He was to them kind and merciful. Tabuk was known as the Battle of Distress. Umar radiallahu anhu said, "We went with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the intense heat for Tabuk. We camped at a place in which we were stricken so hard by thirst that we thought our necks would be severed. One of us used to go out in search of water and did not return until he feared that his neck would be severed. One would slaughter his camel, squeeze its intestines, and drink its content, placing whatever was left on his kidney." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has always accepted your invocation. So invoke Allah for us. The Prophet ﷺ said, would you like me to do that? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, yes. Rasulullah ﷺ raised his hands and did not put them down until rain fell from the sky in abundance. It rained and then stopped raining for a while, then rained again, so they filled their containers. We went out to see where the rain reached and found that it did not rain beyond our camp. Allahu Akbar. Allah says, for these people, indeed He was to them kind and merciful. And He also forgave the three who were left behind and regretted their error to the point that the earth closed in on them in spite of its vastness, and their souls confined, meaning they were anguished. Their souls confined them, and they were certain that there is no refuge from Allah except in Him. Then He turned to them so they could repent. Indeed, Allah is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. This ayah is about those three whose decision was deferred for some time by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Ka'b bin Malik, who used to guide Ka'b after he became blind, said that he heard Ka'b bin Malik narrate this story when he did not join the Battle of Tabuk with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ka'b bin Malik said, I did not remain behind Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any battle that he fought except the Battle of Tabuk. I failed to take part in the Battle of Badr, but Allah did not admonish anyone who did not participate in it. For in fact, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone out in search of the caravan of Quraysh, until Allah made the Muslims and their enemies meet without any appointment. I witnessed the night of Al-Aqaba with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when we pledged for Islam, and I would not exchange it for the Battle of Badr, even though the Battle of Badr is more popular among the people than the Aqaba pledge. As for my news of this Battle of Tabuk, I was never stronger or wealthier than I was when I remained behind Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that battle. By Allah, never had I two camels before, but I did at that time of that battle. Whenever Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to go to a battle, he used to hide his intention by referring to different battles until it was a time of that battle of Tabuk, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought in intense heat, facing a long journey, the desert, and the great number of enemy soldiers. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam clearly announced the destination to the Muslims so that they could prepare for their battle, and he told them about his intent. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was accompanied by such a large number of Muslims that they could not be listed in a book by name nor registered. Ka'b added, any man who intended not to attend the battle would think that the matter would remain hidden unless Allah revealed it through divine revelation. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fought that battle at a time when the fruits had ripened and the shade was pleasant, and I found myself inclined towards that. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions prepared for battle, and I started to go out in order to get myself ready along with them. But I returned without doing anything. I would say to myself, I can do that if I want. So I kept on delaying it every now and then until the people were prepared and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims along with him departed. But I had not prepared anything for my departure. I said, I will prepare myself for departure 1 or 2 days after him and then join them. In the morning following their departure, I went out to get myself ready, but returned having done nothing. Then again the next morning, I did the same thing. Such was the case with me until they hurried away and I missed the battle. Even then I intended to depart to catch up with them. I wish I had done so, but that did not happen. So after the departure of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever I went out and walked among the people who remained behind, it grieved me that I could see none around me but one accused of hypocrisy or one of those weak men whom Allah had excused. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not remember me until he reached Tabuk. So while he was sitting among the people in Tabuk, he said, what did Ka'b bin Malik do? So a man said, he has been stopped by his two burda garments and looking at his own flanks with pride, meaning he was criticized. Mu'adh bin Jabal said, what a bad thing you have said. By Allah, O Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know nothing about him but that which is good. And this was the appropriate response. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept silent. Ka'b bin Malik added, when I heard that Allah's Messenger was on his way back to Al-Madinah, I was overcome by concern and began to think of false excuses. I said to myself, how can I escape from his anger tomorrow? I started looking for advice from wise members of my family in this matter. When it was said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had approached Al-Madinah, all evil and false excuses abandoned my mind, and I knew well that I could never come out of this problem by forging a false statement. Then I decided firmly to speak the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in the morning, and whenever he returned from a journey, he used to visit the masjid first and offer 2 rakah prayer, then sit for the people. So when he had done all that, this time, those who failed to join the battle came and started offering false excuses and taking oaths before him. They were over 80 men. Allah's Messenger accepted the excuses they expressed outwardly, asked for Allah's forgiveness for them, and left the secrets of their hearts for Allah to judge. Then I came to him, and when I greeted him, he smiled a smile of an angry person, and then said, come. So I came walking until I sat before him. He said to me, what stopped you from joining us? Had you not purchased an animal for carrying you? I answered, yes, O Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By Allah, if I was sitting before any person from among the world other than you, I would have escaped from his anger with an excuse. By Allah, I have been bestowed with the power of speaking fluently and eloquently, but by Allah, I knew well that if I tell you a lie today to seek your favor, Allah would surely make you angry with me in the near future. But if I tell you the truth, though you will get angry because of it, I hope for Allah's forgiveness. By Allah, I had never been stronger or wealthier than I was when I remained behind you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as regards to this man, he has surely told the truth. So get up until Allah decides your case. I got up and many men of Banu Salama followed me and said to me, by Allah, we never witnessed you commit any sin before this. Surely you failed to offer an excuse to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like the others who did not join him. The invocation of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to forgive you would have been sufficient for your sin. By Allah, they continued blaming me so much that I intended to return to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and accuse myself of having told a lie, but I said to them, is there anybody else who has met the same end as I have? They replied, yes, there are 2 men who have said the same thing as you have, and to both of them was given the same order that was given to you. I said, who are they? They replied, Murara bin Arabi and Hilal bin Umayyah al-Waqifi. They mentioned to me 2 pious men who had attended the Battle of Badr and in whom there was an example for me. So I did not change my mind when they mentioned them to me. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbade all the Muslims from talking to us, the 3 persons, out of all those who remained behind for that battle. So we kept away from the people and they changed their attitude towards us until the very land where I lived appeared strange to me, as if I did not know it. We remained in that condition for 50 nights. As for my 2 companions, they remained in their houses and kept on crying, weeping. But I was the youngest and the firmest of them. So I would go out and attend the prayer along with the Muslims and roam the markets, but none would speak to me. I would come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and greet him while he was sitting in his gathering after the prayer. And I would wonder whether he even moved his lips in return of my greeting or not. Then I would offer my prayer near him and look at him carefully. When I was busy with my prayer, he would turn his face towards me. But when I turned my face to him, he would turn his face away from me. When this harsh attitude and boycott of the people continued for a long time, I walked until I scaled the wall of the garden of Abu Qatada, who was my cousin and the dearest person to me. I offered my greeting to him. By Allah, he did not return my greetings. I said, O Abu Qatada, I beseech you by Allah, Do you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? He kept quiet. I asked him again, beseeching him by Allah, but he remained silent. I asked him again in the name of Allah, and he said, Allah and His Messenger know better. At that moment, my eyes flowed with tears, and I returned and jumped over the wall. While I was walking in the market of Al-Madinah, suddenly I saw that an Abyssinian from Asham came to sell his grains in Al-Madinah, saying, Who will lead me to Ka'ab bin Malik? The people began to point me out for him, until he came to me and handed me a letter from the king of Ghassan, who ruled Syria for Caesar, for I knew how to read and write. In that letter the following was written, To proceed, I have been informed that your friend, the Prophet, has treated you harshly. Anyhow, Allah does not make you live in a place where you feel inferior and your right is lost. So join us, and we will console you. When I read it, I said to myself, This is also a sort of test, because that letter had been sent to him to break up the unity, playing on the distrust that perhaps might have developed in Ka'ab bin Malik's heart. But it had not. He still had tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his iman was true. So he said, I took the letter to the oven and made a fire burning it. When 40 out of the 50 nights had elapsed, behold, there came to me a messenger of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, saying, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam orders you to keep away from your wife. I said, Should I divorce her, or else what should I do? He said, No, only keep aloof from her and do not mingle with her. The Prophet sent the same message to my two fellows. I said to my wife, Go to your parents and remain with them until Allah gives His verdict in this matter. Ka'ab added, The wife of Hilal bin Umayyah came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Allah's Messenger, Hilal bin Umayyah is a helpless old man who has no servant to attend him. Do you dislike that I should serve him? He said, No, you can serve him, but he should not come near you, meaning intimately. She said, By Allah, he has no desire for anything. By Allah, he has never ceased weeping since his case began until this day. On that, some of my family members said to me, Will you also ask Allah's Messenger to permit your wife to serve you, as he has permitted the wife of Hilal to serve him? I said, By Allah, I will not ask permission of Allah's Messenger regarding her, for I do not know what Allah's Messenger would say if I asked him to permit her to serve me while I am a young man. We remained in that state for 10 more nights, until the period of 50 nights was completed, starting from the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had initially prohibited the people from talking to us. When I had finished the Fajr prayer on the 50th morning on the roof of one of our houses, while sitting in the condition in which Allah described in the Quran, my very soul seemed straitened to me, and even the earth seemed narrow to me for all its spaciousness. Then I heard the voice of a man who had ascended the mountain of Sal, calling with his loudest voice, O Ka'ab bin Malik, be happy! I fell down in prostration before Allah, realizing that relief has come with His forgiveness for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced the acceptance of our repentance by Allah after Fajr prayer. The people went out to congratulate us. Some bearers of good news went to my two companions. A horseman came to me in haste, while a man from Banu Aslam came running and ascended the mountain, and his voice was swifter than the horse. When the man whose voice I had heard came to me conveying the good news, I took off my garments and dressed him with them as a gift, and by Allah I owned no other than them on that day. Then I borrowed two garments, wore them, and went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The people started receiving me in batches, congratulating me on Allah's acceptance of my repentance, saying, We congratulate you on Allah's acceptance of your repentance. Ka'ab further said, When I entered the masjid, I saw Allah's Messenger sitting in the masjid with the people around him. Talha bin Ubaidullah swiftly came to me, shook my hands and congratulated me. I will never forget Talha for this. Ka'ab added, When I greeted Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his face was bright with joy. He said, be happy with the best day you have ever seen since your mother gave birth to you. I said to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is this forgiveness from you or from Allah? He said, no, it is from Allah. Whenever Allah's Messenger became happy, his face would shine as if it was a piece of moon, and we all knew that characteristic of him. When I sat before him, I said, O Allah's Messenger, because of the acceptance of my repentance, I will give up all my wealth as alms for the sake of Allah and his Messenger. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep some of your wealth, as it will be better for you. I said, so I will keep my share from Khaybar with me. I added, Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has saved me for telling the truth. So it is part of my repentance not to tell but the truth as long as I am alive. By Allah, I do not know of any Muslim whom Allah has helped to tell the truth more than I. Ever since I have mentioned the truth to Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have never intended to tell a lie until today. I hope that Allah will also save me from telling lies the rest of my life. So Allah revealed this ayah in Surah Tawbah. Ka'ab said, by Allah, Allah has never bestowed upon me, apart from his guiding me to Islam, a greater blessing than the fact that I did not lie to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It would have caused me to perish, just as those who had told a lie have perished. Allah described those who told lies with the worst descriptions he ever attributed to anyone. What an amazing event. This beautiful story also gives us an insight, a snapshot into the life of the Sahaba, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the people of Medina. So after this hard test, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala turned to them in repentance so that they could repent. Indeed, Allah is the accepting of repentance, the merciful. Ya ayyuhallazina amanuttaqullaha wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be with those who are true. Allah will say on the Day of Judgment, يَوْمَ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. This is the day when the truth of the truthful ones will help them, and they will have gardens underneath which rivers flow, living in there forever. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Him. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is the greatest of successes. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us clearly, hold on to truth, for being truthful leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to paradise. Surely a man will keep saying the truth and striving for truth until he is written before Allah as very truthful, Siddiq. Beware of lying, for lying leads to sin, and sin leads to the fire. Surely the man will keep lying and striving for falsehood until he is written before Allah as a great liar. This hadith is recorded in the two Sahihs. Allah says in the Quran, Allah does not guide him who is a liar and a disbeliever. Ukhwa bin Amir radiallahu anhu narrated that he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, what is salvation? He said, guard your tongue and stay in your home and weep over your sins. Abdullah bin Amir radiallahu anhu narrated, my mother called me one day while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was seated in our house. She said, come here, I shall give you something. Then the Messenger of Allah said to her, what did you intend to give him? She said, I intended to give him dates. So the Messenger of Allah said to her, behold, if you had not given him something, a lie would have been written against you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, it is sufficient for a believer to be considered a liar that he narrates everything he hears, whether true or false. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said, woe to him who tells lies in order to make people laugh. Woe to him, woe to him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised paradise, a house in paradise, to someone who gives up lying even while joking. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanuttaqullaha. O those who believe, fear Allah. Wa kunu ma'as-sadiqin. This is a command. Allah says, be with those who are true. May Allah make us of those. Ameen ya rabbal alameen.